Well, this is the Halloween season. We're excited to be here with the one and only Patty Negri. We are going to talk about Halloween, ghosts, goblins, spirits, the meaning of Halloween. We have a full moon on Halloween. I mean, what more can you ask for? I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. So please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios. Yes, she's in studio with me, the Good Witch, psychic medium of Hollywood, Patty Negri.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Yay.
I brought some of my spirit friends here today.
You did. Well, first of all, let's go ahead and get started and just kind of explain what you brought in for
us today. What I brought, I'm actually going to be using over the weekend. These are spirit boxes. They're an invention by my friend Daniel McBain, and he's this wonderful inventor, literally like a wizard. So he's taking old school things and make them new school. These are like you could go buy, like I say, a ghost meter or an ovulus.
Right.
But they look so much cooler than a little plastic, you know, beam me up, Scotty kind of thing.
Right.
And I just got them because I'm doing a thing at the murder house this week and I'm doing a thing for the vampire ball. But these have been talking to me since the second we got out of the car. This is the crystal ball. Again, it picks up like static noise, but he got rid of the noise unless it really has something to say. This is very similar to that. Put the light on, light bulb. And this is a Ouija board that only does real words. It's not like usually you're going R, G, G, D, R, B, G, D, D.
Because it has
words in it. Richard. It keeps looking for Richard. So we could turn down the sound if anybody goes crazy. But right now, Halloween, the veil is thinnest between the worlds. That's why we're doing Halloween in the pagan at Samhain. So figured we might as well have something for our spirits to talk to, too.
Well, it's exciting. I love when you bring these toys in. Last time, I think the last couple times was the doll.
Yeah.
So what's the doll's name?
Wait, what was your question? I couldn't hear over the ghost.
Oh, I'm sorry. The doll.
Oh, Belle.
Belle, yes.
Oh, Belle is fabulous.
Yeah.
She's actually...
Oh, is that R2-D2?
Even know it made things like that. Okay, do you want me to turn you down? I'm talking now. You have to keep both ghosts in line a little bit. You kind of do. You have to show them who's boss. No, Belle is great. She went on her first convention with me. Screen, yeah. This is funny. I'm going to turn down a little bit. She went to Virginia City Paracon with me.
Right.
Right now, I'm conducting a wedding, a pagan hand fasting, on Saturday day in between the murder house and the vampire ball.
Right.
And Belle is invited.
Fun. So, oh, my gosh. Were they nervous at all? Or was that,
no,
they requested?
The couple, they both love her madly, Freddie and Anthony. And so they're going to bring her, her first wedding. She's done a convention. Now she'll do a wedding.
Oh,
but
she's
happy. She's just like we're all weird with COVID a little bit because nobody's uncertainties. Spirits are a little weird too.
Really?
Even when I, for investigations, if you do, or clearings, a lot more stuff agitated. Because I think they're picking up on our energy, for one. And again, there is a lot of strife and weird energy, and they're picking it up. And now as the veil thins, plus like Belle loved to have my house full of people. I would see clients at my house. We would do seances. Now nobody's there but me, my husband, and my cat. You know, she's like,
Belle's like, I'm tired of you guys.
Exactly. Bring people over.
So, you know, this is one of our favorite times of the year. You know, we always have you here because you're one of our favorites. And, of course, our listeners and viewers on YouTube, it always does well because people love Patty. So tell us, I'm going to get, you're a psychic medium, but also you're a witch, good witch. So we're going to say good witch because what is the difference between... Is there a different psychic medium and a witch?
Okay, yeah. They actually are very, very different things.
Right.
To say you're psychic, as you know, psychic means you kind of can see into the future a little.
Right.
Possibilities. I don't think anything's written in stone because we have free will. But kind of seeing pathways, blocks, things. Medium means you could talk to the other side. I was born with both of those. I mean, I thought everybody could talk to the guy in the closet. And I think most kids can. It just kind of gets taught out of us.
Right.
Okay, shush.
Patty's like enough
ghosting.
Enough children.
So I think we can always talk. I did my first seance when I was 7 or 8. So there's
seven or eight.
I always had this obsession with the dead.
What did the parents say?
My mom. Well, I was this quiet kid, and she's like, oh yeah, grandma always saw a ghost too. Oh yeah.
And so this was hereditary, it wasn't morbid.
Yeah. I wasn't like a goth little kid.
Right, right.
But I went in the little, you know, windowless hallway, stuffed towels under the doors, and I'm. Then I realized I didn't know dead people. I'm like, Marilyn Monroe, John Kennedy, it's late 60s. And so my windowless, lightless hall right. filled with orbs flying through. And therefore, I became a seeker studying wow. religion, philosophy, cosmologies. So that's the psychic medium part. But the witchy part is at the same time, I'm in the back, I'll be in the backyard and literally picking rosemary off the plants and stuffing it in my mom's wallet, knowing that it would bring her money. It's just in the blood. That's a witch blood. Some people call it angel blood if they don't like the word right. witch or this or that. Just that shamanistic kind of knowing what to do. So, and good witch versus bad. A witch is a witch. It could be two things. It could be your belief system, like I'm Wiccan or I am ceremonial right, or I'm a right. chaos magician. I'm a druid.
They're all similar.
It's like saying
Bigfoot, abominable snowman.
It's like
whatever.
Saying Christian. Are you Catholic or you're Protestant or you're Presbyterian, you're evangelical? Right. The same but different. Or to be a witch is the practice of the craft. And that,
correct.
As much as it is my belief system, it's more that my practice of life. And to say that means I'm willing to take fate in my hands and change it.
Right.
Because naturally things just take the easy path. Water runs downhill. We have gravity. But if your water's coming down here, but you want it at your house up here, you build a dam. That's what the craft is.
Right.
That's what putting the rosemary in the thing, doing a candle, doing a spell working. So, you know, there's a responsibility to that. I do believe to do that, you have to have a moral code, integrity, virtue, or you'll get in trouble. But if you have those things, you won't get in trouble.
So what about like, because one thing I've always wanted to have on is somebody with voodoo. And I don't mm-hmm. know if you've, because we always hear kind of negative things about voodoo.
Yeah. And again, just like, well, you used to always hear negative things about witches.
True.
And not so much. Or vampires. We could have that whole conversation later.
I've tried to get people.
Bring Father Sebastian. He's like,
is he a vampire?
He's the king of the vampires.
That's
Sabretooth.
What I want. I've been wanting to have that forever.
Yeah, this is the family. This is Sabretooth. I mean, he's headed to New Orleans now. I met him on Ghost Adventures.
I would love that.
But he just has a new book out, too, called The Black Veils, and it's all positive. When I met him and he first offered to fang me, I'm like, I don't think so. My idea of vampires isn't good. I work in the light. But I read his books, and it's always the same magic as mine. Instead of just a witchy cloak, you put on like Victorian clothing and fangs. I have my fangs in my purse. And it's good. They're positive. At our last vampire weekend, we gave blood. We had the Red Cross blood truck come, and we bring in light and money to...
So why is it such a bad rap?
It's because it's Hollywood TV, and there is bad vampires, I'm sure, just like bad witches.
Yeah.
And again, why I use the word good...
Bad psychics, bad ministers,
yeah, there's more bad
preachers,
psychics
bad
than anything, really. As we know, this is a rough business to be in for every good and legit. But I use the word good over white because white has so many connotations. Plus, I love Wizard of Oz.
I do too.
I'm glad pink that. I have the big pink fluffy dress.
Do you really?
Of course I do.
You should have worn that one.
So does my. I thought about it.
I might have worn it too. Yeah.
We could have had matching ones.
You know, I actually interviewed a minister from the Church of Satan once.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my co-host at the time, he's like, I'm not coming in. Because he was so like, mm-mm. And I'm just always been that way. That's why I started Truth Be Told, because I wanted to dive into things that I didn't understand. And so I had him on. He was so fascinating. And my thing is Christianity, they will bring children into Christianity. They introduce young. Church of Satan, they say anybody under 18, they won't let them join until they hit 18, and then they can choose on their own.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of integrity. I don't know all their beliefs and know enough about them, but it's not what people think, and it's certainly not what Christians will tell you it is.
Just
like witches aren't what Christians will tell you it is. But that's all about control, not about religion or not about spirituality or about God, for that matter. That's about control.
Right.
And same with voodoo. I think voodoo, because you get the TV, and I guess... You know, there is some chicken head chopping off.
Right.
I don't know. But voodoo is more the religion, and hoodoo is more the magical practice.
Oh, so it's hoodoo.
Hoodoo. Is hoodoo, the magical practice. You do.
That's where that came from. I learn something every day.
Every day. But no, because I think it is a good practice, and everything can have light and dark. But I know people like Bloody Mary in New Orleans. She's a dear friend of mine. She's as light and good and wonderful as you or I or anything. Hmm. You know, she works with nature. She works with Mama, Papa Legra.
And what is voodoo? I mean, what is that practice?
It's shamanism, paganism mixed with a lot of Catholicism.
Does that come from Cuba?
I think it comes like Cuba, Africa. Oh, okay. I'm not an expert on this. Don't quote me on any of that. But it's got a lot of African roots and more native indigenous roots, whatever that means.
Interesting.
All squished together with Catholicism.
What is your favorite practices? I mean, because with witchhood, is there a certain rituals that are different than voodoo, or how do you practice as a witch?
I work elementally. There's lots of different kinds. You almost work always in paganism, witchcraft. Right. You work off a compass. You know, north, south, west, east.
Right.
Kind of whatever you put in the north is a system you're working. Most pagan, like Wicca, works an elemental system. You put earth in the north. So you're working with earth, who you are, what you are, the planet, fire, the passion, creativity, water, the flow, emotions, air, thought process, focus. Hmm. So I work elemental because it doesn't get into deity, and it doesn't it's not going to offend a Christian. If we're doing a candle working, or I work with a lot of herbs and oil, because we're doing our creating word chant, because our voice, we don't need any other tools, but this is our pneuma, our life force. Every sound we make has an effect on us. Hmm. It's Egyptian magic, actually, Hekka work. Every consonant, every vowel, every forming, that's why we chant, and that's why there's rhymes, that's why there's cadence. But that's why, without giving anybody a lesson they don't want in Hekka, vowels will clear your head. That's why, even my book, those 30 seconds. Just any vowel, 30 seconds, the chatter stops, the fog lifts. And think about it. Almost every sacred word is a vowel. Amen. Om. Falling in love. Ah. Roller coaster. Ah. You know, Native American. Hey. In Africa. Whatever that is. India. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Opens up this crown of illumination. Vowel sounds open air, pneuma, life force. The moisture, even the moisture in your breath is free will. Hmm. That's why some cultures spit. Like, oh, in Italy, oh, what a pretty baby. You don't have to spit, but that's free will. So with speaking our truth. So if you're doing you're in a church and pray to God, or you're dancing around a bonfire like I am, going, please pray for this, or God, or gods, or Mother Tree, or whatever. If you can be vocal about it, it's going to be that much more powerful.
That's like in Christianity, like Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Speaking in tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you're not used to that, it's pretty crazy to hear, but then what you just said, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not the actual words itself. It's the sound.
It's the sounds. It is the sounds.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think of sound waves.
Music can soothe you, invigorate you, make you sexy.
It makes you riled up.
Yeah,
make you
wild. And now they're learning more and more the science with the binaural beats and all that, how to relax you, how to invigorate you. They really are putting science into it. I think this whole dang thing is going to, you know, science and spirituality, as quantum everything gets in, it's all going to be one big thing. How cool is that?
That would be really cool. Yeah. We finally get to that point in our, maybe not in our lives, but hopefully.
it's just whatever template you're putting it on. That's why I try to take things down to energy. And that's why I choose to work elementally versus like an air-based system is a spirit-based system.
Right.
And they put it that it's deities and spirit of this, spirit of that. And that's harder to concept if you have a certain idea of God or deity than I understand the deep roots of a tree and the branches that reach for the heavens.
I love that. And how does this, because, you know, Halloween is just a few days away, 2 days away. How does all of this bring us to Halloween? How does this affect Halloween? Because some people are like, oh, it's just a date. And, you know, it's just people getting candy. But there's really a meaning behind what Halloween is all about originally.
What it is, is the time of year when the veil between the worlds is the thinnest.
And
it
how do we know that for sure?
Because those of us who see ghosts see way more ghosts. You see them clearer. You see what it is. And again, modern man, we're not as in touch with that. That's why.
Right.
But ancient man was. Even you didn't have to be a seer or a psychic. They saw that what that was. So that's why they would put jack-o'-lanterns out. They used to use turnips instead of pumpkins.
Oh, really?
Pumpkins in Europe.
Yeah.
But carve them to scare away the bad. You see more spirits out. Good ones, bad ones, just like people. Good ones, bad.
Right.
So they put that out. They would dress up. They'd wear costumes and masks to confuse and scare away the bad ones.
Hmm.
But what it really is, what it dates back in the pagan practice, it's Samhain, which is it is when we celebrate the dead, because it's the time for crossing them over. Just like Dia de los Muertos is saying, they're celebrating dead. Put a picture of your ancestors out, light a candle, light some incense. So Halloween is taking the dressing up part and the candy and the giving is all going back to the veil is thin and it's all about dead people. So celebrate and go get candy.
So the paganism is actually where Halloween came from, or is it even further back than that?
It might be further back.
We just don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that. I just know, I just go back as far as the European, the Samhain, what that is.
Right.
And why people dress up for Halloween. Everybody grasps onto everybody. It's not a bad thing. Like Christianity grasped onto Yule logs and pine trees, which has nothing to do with Jesus
wasn't even Christmas trees was pagan.
Yeah, completely pagan.
Which is funny.
Yeah, completely pagan. You look completely pagan because they celebrate nature because that's what they knew. Simple. Or Easter, the Christians took that on. Easter bunnies and eggs have nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
But it's cool. They brought them into the religion. It's about the pagan part of it is spring and fertility and the new life. Because everything's pretty much based on seasons and farming and what people did back then.
So right now we're also in a Mercury retrograde.
Yes, we are.
This Halloween, so it's Mercury, usually because Mercury's like the end of November, December, so it's early. We're also a full moon that's going to happen. So like with Mercury retrograde, there's that, you know, maybe a week before you can start feeling it coming.
Yeah.
With Halloween, is it the same or is it just like midnight Halloween, midnight the day after? How do we, I mean, when does it start getting thinner? Is it?
It's been going on for weeks. It's like a slow build.
So it's a build.
If you go in the story, it's in paganism, it's the dark time. We go in.
Right.
The contemplation time, because it's cold and you go in the house and you can't go farm.
Right.
So it's that dark. It's a contemplation. It's called under the mound. So I know for weeks now already, people are more activity. Of course, the Mercury retrograde, nothing's working right and this isn't working right. But also, I've been doing more clearings because more activity in the house. If the veil is thin, more unexplainable stuff happens. So it's been, and more people are seeing things, more people are feeling things. And the veil is getting thinner and thinner anyways in life as we move towards that age of Aquarius. So,
and when is that? I know we're already kind of getting to that point.
Very, very close, within the next 500 years. But we're getting there. It's not.
And what is that going to happen? What's going to happen, do you think?
Well, I think it's already happening is we're going through this big shift. And I think part of even the COVID stuff and all that.
I felt that this was meant to be.
I mean, for
some reason.
I think it was like, again, God, universe, whatever, lightly shake us. You're asleep. Wake up. You need to shift.
Right.
Wake. Shake us harder. Throw water in our face. And this is the screw you hit on the head with a 2x4.
Right, right.
Wake up. Wake up.
Right.
And the divide is getting bigger. But I think I'm not an astrologer, but it is not going to be our parent's world of black and white, right and wrong, yes and no, solid ground. There is no solid ground. It's like this. So it's learning a new, it's a shift. It's a big shift.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people, you know, they go into Halloween. And I think I'm a big history buff on pretty much anything. I think, like they say, you should know history so you don't repeat it.
Yeah.
But I think with Halloween, it's good to know those backgrounds because the only thing majority of the people know is just the commercial side of it. Oh, what's it saying now?
I missed that. Can you say that again? I turned it up a little bit because he was yelling at me about, to turn him up. They've been yapping.
So people just tuning in, this is Patty Negri, and she is a good witch, a Hollywood good witch, also psychic medium. But you do seances during Halloween.
I do, Michael. This just said yes. I do seances year round, but this is the time that you celebrate the dead. I'm doing two or three more this weekend. Right. I did two last Sunday because you take advantage of the veil being thin, plus not long. Okay. We have to get the timing down. Not a good partner. No. So again, it's a really great time to communicate. And also in the pagan practice of Samhain, and if anybody looks it up, it's spelled Samhain, Samhain.
Right.
So if you don't look for SOW, it will never find it. But it is a time you celebrate, and all those that have died, it's like the horsemen go out and you bring them too. So we are celebrating around a bonfire thing.
Wow.
So it's a great time for seances or for dumb suppers. That's a
what?
A dumb supper.
What's a dumb supper?
A dumb supper is a back, dumb like in silent, not like in stupid.
Right.
You do it at Samhain traditionally, or when anybody dies 40 days after they die or any time after. It's the most beautiful ritual, better than the funeral, the wake. You do the dinner. Okay, I'm turning you down. you do it 40 days or after. That's a transition in almost every belief system. And 40 is, it's even biblical. It's astrological.
Right.
Jesus 40 days, Moses
right.
40 days, Noah 40 days. Die, get to the next side, 40 days. So after 40 days, or could be 40 years, you have a dinner for them. But you have to do it backwards. You start with dessert. And then you have the main course.
Favorite.
I know. Everybody. And then you end up with your appetizer or super salad course. You could set a place for them if you want, or just a glass. The spirit knows it's for them because they're mirror image. They're reversed. They're going, this is our dinner. So you could sit around and you could talk. You could be sad, but also talk happy things. It's like this last supper. La, la, la. You know, and then we used to go to the park when I was a kid. Somewhere in the dinner, some people do the whole meal silent,
right.
But I think you get better talk just a little bit silent. Somewhere in the meal, everybody goes silent, and the deceased will communicate with each person at the table to their own comfort level and their own ability. And then the most important part, at the end of the dinner, which is the beginning of the dinner, because
right.
you're up to super salad or
right.
cheese sticks, is you have to say goodbye to their fleshly body. Because this is the one thing you can't come back. Yes, you can't have back unless you're zombies and maggots. You either believe they've gone to heaven or they're reincarnated or they're part of the consciousness.
Right.
And we have to cut those cords. Because one of the things I see the cords. You and I have a cord. We have friendship cords and these cords.
Right.
And when somebody dies, this has to be cut. It has to like now be a third eye cord. And then you'll have a better relationship. So now it's
got
not...
It.
Your dead parent, it's your spirit parent. It's not your dead lover, it's your spirit lover.
Wow.
It helps them.
How do you cut that cord, though?
With this dumb supper, you just let them go. It's like, okay, I wish you well on your journey. We're okay here. You're okay. And then if you are into communicating with the other side, and you could do it, it could be years and years and years, people who don't know what it is. And you will feel the peace. They will feel the peace. And if you want to communicate with them, you will be able to do it better because now your third eye connected instead of living heart to living heart.
You know what's weird? I may have to try that because tomorrow will be my mother's 2-year anniversary of her passing. And I've always said, I don't think I've ever, I mean, I've accepted it, but I don't think I've ever, you know, cut the cord. I personally thought before my mom died, we always said whoever goes first, which we probably knew she probably would have, but you know, there's always a chance that we would always be there to greet each other when it's our time. That was our pact.
Mm.
But I thought after she passed away, I would see her. I would see signs and this and that and dream about her. And I just don't do it. And I was like, I'm kind of disappointed. But my spouse says sometimes when I sleep, I talk to her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? And because normally I remember my dreams pretty well, but I don't remember talking.
put a glass of water. I'll do everything.
Really?
So yeah, so you should do it. And again, the time to do it, her anniversary is perfect, which right. happens to be right at Sal.
I know, that's why I'm like,
which is perfect. Right. So again, whatever you're having for dinner anyway, just make it for her and do it backwards.
All right.
And she will know, and
have
then she will
meal.
Be able to communicate. You will be able to cut that cord and have a new spirit mom cord. And to remember your dreams, I call it dream school. Water is a conduit.
Right.
And the reason that you get in your way is that we try too hard. That left brain, that left
like
reasoning, rational,
yeah.
logical brain
right.
will not help us talk to spirits. It's our right, intuitive, spiritual, creative
right.
side will. So if you, when you go to bed at night, say, I want to talk to mom, put a preferably an open glass of water right by your bed and charge it. Just say, okay, I would like to communicate with my mom, or what is the meaning of life, or what shirt should I wear tomorrow, or show me what I need to know. It's what you're doing is you're giving the universe permission to download you while you're asleep, either in dreams or just downloads, when that chatty, judgmental, trying too hard left brain isn't in the way.
Right.
And then when you wake up in the morning, just grab a pencil, just commit to 2 minutes before you throw out the water. Don't drink water by your bed. Throw out the water, and you will be surprised at what you write. If you don't know, you don't remember a dream, like, I don't remember my dreams, this is stupid, Patty's nuts, here's my shopping list, whatever, but you will be surprised what comes out of you. It's a conduit. Just open glass of water right by your bed.
I will try
this
that.
This is my mom water.
I will try that. And I just thought of it. I was like, oh yeah, tomorrow is our anniversary.
See?
And that,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So when it gets to Halloween and you know, because you're busy, like you're one right after, you know, interviews and, you know, people wanting mm-hmm. you to be on the show. What does Halloween mean to you, as not just, you know, as somebody that likes to celebrate it, but as you, as a psychic medium, is it something that, not a work job, but what does it mean?
Well, for me, again, this is my passion. I've tried to
right.
do a million other things.
Right.
I've run a production company. I've been a nurse.
Right.
I've done a million things, but I'm always drawn back here. And to me, it's that much more of an opportunity to just give new perspective. I'm all about empowering people,
right.
not me empowering, but letting them know how amazing we are as humans. My God, we have free will. We are great. And everybody in my practice gives away their power. We give away our power to other people.
Right.
We give away our power to our own limiting belief systems. We
right.
give away our power to fear. And so Halloween is a time that, even if I'm doing a seance at the American Horror Story Murder House,
right.
I'm still getting some message, and I'm getting to a whole group of people that won't go see me talk at a Paracon
right,
or even
right,
a college
right, right.
or maybe even watch your show. And now they'll watch your show because, it's just some little light bulb in their head going, wow, this is a different world. Here's another perception, you know. From to me, even some of the TV shows, besides Ghost Adventures, some of the other, like my episodes of Bad Girls Club, these are people who would never even think about the spirit world as something positive and not a scary
right,
thing.
Right.
Or that we can create our lives, we can guide and direct our lives.
I love it. And, you know, you just mentioned that you were on a reoccurring role on Ghost Adventures. Can you tell us some of the most activity that you had been on one of these shows, that the most activity, what like, you know, because here Queen Mary is one of the most haunted places I see, always on the top, one of the top 10, top 15 list.
Yeah.
But where are some of the places that you saw that were more active when you were
okay.
on Ghost Adventures?
Black Dahlia House, the Souden House right here
Black
in Hollywood.
Dahlia?
The Black Dahlia, it's called
it
the Souden House. It's designed by Lloyd Wright, Frank Lloyd's. It's been seen in a million movies because no one really lives there because it's dark.
Ooh, really?
It looks like a Mayan temple, Jaws meets something. So Black Dahlia.
Oh, wow.
I was thrown against a wall by that. I've done a couple seances there. One
you were thrown
Ghost
against
Adventures,
a wall?
I was thrown against a wall. So that's really dark.
How do you not just run?
Well, I'm like a first responder of this paranormal. I've studied my whole life. I could work in deities and this language and that language and this and protection methods and everybody's this sigil, that symbol, this, this,
right.
that. So, and I do firmly believe still that this is our realm of existence. Since I was this big, 3 years old, I just knew that they actually have to play by our rules. This is our world. Their world might be something different.
So we feel like we're out of control, but actually
we
are.
We give them control. If when you see it on TV or if somebody gets all possessed, I believe they've allowed that to happen. Because if there is a bad spirit, don't get angry. That will feed it. Don't get fearful. That'll feed it. Be like a parent. No, no, no. My house, you can't come here.
Well, even vampire, they had to have permission to get.
Exactly.
Permission.
Even a vampire. It's all the same. Believe me. And I've just always known that. And there's been some scary things, but I've just always, this will win. Unless there is a severe addiction problem or a severe mental imbalance, that will let in dark stuff that I
even
don't know
in
what
spirit.
To do. No, in this life. In this if there's life. A living person who has a severe addiction problem or something.
Got it.
That's when the dark stuff gets in, that some of the darker things that I've done even on the show, like at the Reseda house. It opens some portal that gets in really, really dark. Mm. But I don't know if I told this last time I was here, but right in my neighborhood, in the Hollywood Hills, this house, I think that was the craziest. It was built by Charlie Chaplin for his girlfriend.
Was that on Laurel?
Mary? No. This one is on Holly. It's in Hollywood Dale under sign.
Okay.
He's had a few houses, but he built this one for Mary Astor, his girlfriend, and it was a wild party house from the 20s and 30s. And it's right in my neighborhood, and we always heard about this house. It looks like a haunted house. It's four levels, and the people who live there were doing a movie about the house because it was just had been a party house. The Rolling Stones manager bought it in the 60s. The Rolling Stones lived there. The Mamas and Papas, Graham Parsons. And then the Rolling Stones people moved out and the guy who invented the real life sex doll moved in. And then he moved out and Marilyn Manson moved in and was my neighbor for 7 years. And he did recording in the dirt basement, always the dirt basement. And it just, this house attracted creative, chaotic, sometimes dark, edgy people, this house. And they were doing a film, so a documentary. So they had me go do a seance. And it was this table of young people, and young people always have high. So stuff always happens when you have that, 17 to 22, because there's so much life force. That's when the glasses start flying.
Get to be my age, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you don't have as much life force anymore. But this one kid was getting a little disrespectful, a little disrespectful. Uh-oh. We had four cameras. But I'm like, okay, trying to keep it in line. We're filming. I get that. So first, the French doors flew open. And the producer side of me is like, wow, that's like special effects, but it's real. I would never cheat a thing. That's like special effects. And then that happened again. And then the attention is building. We're using the Ouija board. Tension is building. And then there's a speaker, like that old school speaker on the floor. Comes on, white noise. And we look later. It wasn't even plugged in. But everybody's screaming. And to calm me down, the French door's flying open. I'm like, this is better than I've ever seen on anything.
Wow.
But then we're getting some really dark information. All of a sudden, the kid said something really stupid. And the cameraman facing him across the table burst into flames.
The cameraman did?
Spontaneous combustion. Like a V up his back. Angel wings of fire up his back. Everybody is screaming. Two cameras caught it. His camera, he's from the back, like, why is everybody staring at me? Why am I on fire? And one camera just hit the ceiling, hit the floor when the room's bursting into flames in this crowded little haunted house. And so medium witch Patty becomes a medic, which I am. I'm EMT. I'm like, drop and roll. Calling it all in. And I'm like, we're done, shutting down, calling in my wards. And as I'm seeing the blistering on his back, his shirt burnt off him like poof, like it was a synthetic or something. It's cotton. It should not have burnt off like that.
Right.
But I'm like, we're done. But he was more inspired. The cameraman's like, no, I'm okay. I have a sweater. I don't need a show. I have a sweater. I'm okay. He was a skeptic, and he was so turned right then. He goes, I'm okay. So I talked to the ghost. I'm trying to rationalize with this ghost who just set somebody on fire. It wasn't a demon. It wasn't demonic. I think demons get so much credit for stuff that's not theirs.
Oh, really?
99%
it's easy
of people,
to blame
I
it
think,
on
are, yeah, it's a demon.
They're like,
no,
it's not us.
Cranky-ass ghost. But anyway, I talked to you. I said, we're not even going to get rid of you. They like you here. So we did finish the science because the kid who was being kind of a smart aleck got really well behaved. He became the choir boy in the corner.
Right.
But the coolest thing.
My thing is, why would they pick on the cameraman when the kid was the one that being disrespectful?
I'll tell you why. Because there's a story that goes on with it.
Oh,
because
okay.
It's going to continue with
Sorry
a thing.
To
That's
interrupt.
How it works. No, no, no. No.
She's
he
like,
showed
shut
me,
up, Tony. No.
He showed me 3 weeks later. He was so inspired by this. Even though they did try to push him off the cliff by my house,
right.
I had to make him a mojo bag. but he was so inspired by this. He goes, Patty, look at my back. Where the blistering was, it literally looked like he had got a tattoo of a dragon. Open mouth, sharp teeth,
wow.
Winged thing into the shape of a serpent. And that's the exact energy I called in to shut down the seance. Dragons. You know, you
right.
have a dragon.
You gave me a dragon.
It's crossroads energy. It's powerful. It's not bad. It's not good. It's
right.
If they could fly between. And that's I'm like, looking at his back, he's like, you have a tramp stamp of a dragon. How cool is that?
I love it.
And he was just as... So he actually wrote a script, a horror script, with Stephen Norrington, the guy who wrote the Blade series, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And he's gone way left of center Hollywood now. So they wrote this horror script. They haven't done it yet. I hope they do. About this, like, TV psychic medium, basically about me, who does every reality show out there, doing another show, and then a portal opens, and then it becomes a horror film.
Right.
This, you know, not realistic. But I sat down with him for like 5 hours at my dining room table. I'm like, Lauren, you can't say that. But you said that. I know I said that. You can't say that. That opens a portal. You don't want to become one of those cursed horror films, do you? Which
right.
happens all the time. You know, film... Spirit energy doesn't know the difference of we're making a movie here versus
right.
reality. So that's what happens when these horror films or whatever get cursed or bad things happen. It's because people are really opening portals, really summoning in things. So
well,
we changed all the words. If it ever gets done, it will not be a curse. It'll be just as good as a movie. They don't know if Billy Bob.
I'm excited to see
that. Yeah, it's called The Portal. I don't know. He moved on to all these other films.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, hopefully he'll get around
yeah.
to it again.
But anyway, so that was a trip because it was
I'm sure, my gosh.
Heck.
To
and
see somebody just busting, because I've heard about that, but I've never seen it.
I know.
And I've never even met, you're the first person I've ever met that actually saw it.
I know. And a few people have contacted me since because they have experienced it or I've known a few people who have. It's
right.
rare. But yeah, and I go back to Spinal Tap movie. I'm that old to know that. Spinal Tap, the drummer's
What's
always...
What's that? No, just kidding. I know.
I'm married to a drummer. It's like, oh, I'm like glad we weren't in my house with people combusting
right,
out drums
right.
all over my house. So, yeah, so that was scary. And I actually did a scary thing at my house, which my house is 1920s, little bungalow.
So you probably
super
have some spirits.
Super, yeah, because I broke my own rule. We were using a Ouija. We were going to call in something darker than my home seances, for anybody who wants to do one, are nothing like this. They are nothing like what you will see me do on Ghost Adventures because we won't call in serial killers or mass
right,
murders.
Right.
We call in grandma and auntie and
Granny.
Mom, and they're sweet and empowering. But people had not gotten there yet with my friend, and she wanted to talk to her friend, which she had these deep conversations on the Ouija mm-hmm. board. I had not set up my wards, my protection, done it correctly. And we actually were going to do the Black Dahlia guy because we did Unsolved Mysteries
right.
within a seance thing on my
right.
show. And I blew it. I didn't. And all of a sudden I
so
got
you didn't get to protect
pushed
you.
Up into. I was just hanging. It was just over my dining room chair. And I got pushed into the chair. I heard this crack, crack, crack. And I start sliding down to the floor. And she's like, are you OK? Are you OK? I'm like, no. And I always say I'm okay. I could have my arm severed. I'm fine. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, no. I had to go to urgent care.
Really?
And something unseen literally had ripped all the cartilage off my floating ribs.
Oh.
That's why you have to take it seriously.
Right.
You have to know what you're doing. And if there's any word to use for all of it, it's respect.
How does a... Because we talk about, you know, ghosts and spirits and, you know, all this. How does a spirit physically harm you? Because, you know, if we're reaching out, we don't feel anything.
Right.
So well, how do they actually physically harm you?
It's energy. I mean, like if you stick your finger in a plug, it's going to throw you across the room.
True.
They're energy. We know everything's energy. I mean, this seventh grade science, nothing's solid. We're not solid. They're moving atoms.
Right.
They're that. So that other world is just as real as ours. But I mean, that's why they could do things like we're on an invest. Ooh, it's cold spot, and they'll show that it's 10 degrees colder right here. Right. It's 10 degrees hot, all that. But as far as the moving things, it takes a lot of energy from them.
I would say so.
Glass flying across or to push people down. But I've been pushed twice now. I guess it's just energy, like sticking your finger in a plug or like wind can blow you over and we don't see it.
True.
But it does.
That's kind of like saying, you know, how do you know God's real? It's like, well, just because you don't see the air, but you need oxygen to see.
Yeah, I don't know how much oomph it takes for the used energy off people. That's why they drain batteries. That's why cameras get drained on the most professional of shoots. So they just they know to be ready for it. Energy. It all boils down to energy.
Didn't they say Ghost, the movie Ghost, was one of the really closest things to what reality is? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but remember when he tried to do it, would drain them?
Yeah. I think, and that always happens. That always happens. You go on a big thing and you're communicating, it's just like exhausted afterward.
Well, I was looking in the chat room, and one conversation kind of stuck out to me. It said a friend of mine was on heroin for 19 years. There's a problem spiritually in the house, a horrible situation. And then it says not the heroin, but maybe something cut into it. So do you think a lot of people, the drugs itself opens up the portal to bring the negative in? Or is it just the person itself, the mental state and the drugs help it? I mean, how does that work?
Chicken and egg, egg and chicken.
You just don't know what goes first.
I think a place like this one house, the Reseda house, it was a ghost adventure that I had been trying to help these kids for years.
Mm-hmm.
They had inherited the house from a really bad drug dealer.
Oh, okay.
Somebody had died in every room of this house. Overdose, suicide,
right.
Everything. And I couldn't keep that house clear. It would ooze back out. Even it would draw people into it. Even people, if your friend came and stayed, it would draw them into that. So I don't know. Was it because this person doing bad things? They always say he was a good person, but he did bad things. That opened a portal, but it opens a portal. And for some reason, that just seems really dark or really low vibrational when it's harder to get rid of, like a cancer or something. I don't know if that land, because land does have an effect too.
Right.
That deep valley, that Reseda Chatsworth area, which was, I know, a lot of Native American.
I was going to say, you hear a lot about it.
You hear a lot about it. It's active.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Hills, there's a huge vortex portal. And I honestly, I think it's a really good one. I believe that's why Hollywood is right where it is, not 50 miles that way or 50 miles this way. Every time I've been, it's not marked, this little portal, I will find nuns praying or lovers kissing or actors rehearsing, and they're all drawn to it. But I think Hollywood, and it's near the Hollywood sign, drew in the dreamers, the writers, the actors, the musicians, and the spiritual. Just by my house, I have a Vedanta Society, I have a Catholic monastery, we have Scientology, we have Theosophy, we have like 48. I think portals can draw in good, portals can draw in bad.
But we hear that word portal a lot. I have in my house, there's a portal. Oh, I have, you know, in my grandma's house, there's a portal. We hear that term a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a portal? And what, I mean, does it always bring negative?
No.
So it can do both. I mean, can the same portal do both good, bad? Or is
it? Yeah, you have to, I see, and I believe we can direct it. A portal in you know, mirrors are portals because they three-dimensional world, two-dimensional
right,
world,
right.
They always have. You put two mirrors facing each other,
right.
That's a spirit highway. That really creates. When I'm doing clearings on houses, I mean, this is why there are activities in this room. You just have this set up. Like, you have an open window. They're
right.
A window. Again, in my philosophy of still believing that it's our world, if you have something that you work with, you could say only good spirits get in. You could set up your warding, whether it's herbs or oils or words or intent. These are portals. Tarot cards could be portals. Dowsing rods. People work with pendulums. Things pendulums are so safe, but then they won't touch a Ouija board. Same thing.
Right.
It's a portal to talk to spirit, and you're inviting in spirit to go through. And they can certainly close them down. There's a million ways to close them down. And or you could say, comes in, just like you say, who comes in your house. Right. When I'm clearing a house, after we get rid of the dark or anything negative, then we go clockwise. Who's allowed in your front door? State it. Only people invited in. Only right. people with good intent, respect for you, your family, whoever that is. Our words, our intent make a difference.
Now, does Hollywood, because, I mean, I remember one of the scariest ones that ever, as a kid and even to this day was The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I mean, so when they bring exorcism in or like someone like yourself or trying to, you say, you're not welcome here. Well, can the demons or spirits fight back?
Oh, yeah. They do.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering, because sometimes it's like, just tell them you're not welcome here and they're going to go away. But
I'm not getting into a big demonic thing where you're going to bring in the priest. I'm
talking
like you're at your apartment and you're whatever and you feel something icky and get out. When it gets into big possession things and when there is real demonic stuff, I work with a priest. I have Brian Ouellette, Bishop Brian Ouellette. Again, we met on Ghost Adventure. You get to meet everybody.
That's
on
wonderful
the show.
That you get to meet that
many
people.
Yeah, and we formed this little group. We actually call ourselves the Paranormal Paramedics, and it's a Catholic priest, a Catholic nun, Nicole Ann, myself, the witch, and then a demonologist, Darren Evans, who's the guy who is the kind of the Zozo expert. He looks like Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, cool.
And we are the oddest group of four, but we combine everything. Everybody's very open thinking and free thinking, and it's amazing what you could do. You come in the left door and you come in the right door and you come in and we surround them kind of stuff. But yes, no, you really can. That's why I said you to play in this world, you have to, number one, respect it. You have to take it seriously and you have to be careful.
What do you think about, because when I was a kid, Ouija boards were very popular. And like Char was like, don't touch Ouija boards. So if you're unskilled or untrained or don't know what you're doing, can you, through a Ouija board, bring in a negative?
Or something? Yeah, you can.
Negative.
But what I teach people is you could look at it two ways. It's a piece of cardboard with numbers on it.
Right.
That's all it is. Or it's a portal. It's a portal. I think they're like a gun. You have to know how to use it. It's not in itself good or bad. I'm not even going to get into if I think good or bad. But you have to know how to use it. I don't think they should be sold at toy stores. I think you should be 18. I think they should have a completely opposite set of directions. This is not a game. This is this. This is that. And I think with the right directions, anybody can use it. Again, if you have the right sense of integrity.
Yeah.
Again, set up your wards. Who are you going to call? Is it Jesus? You're going to put Christ over here? You're going to put Archangel Michael over here? You're going to put here? You're going to work with dragons? Whatever it is, who are you going to call when you get scared? Set up wards. Set up, be very clear of who's allowed in it and not. And again, unless I've slipped up, I have never had, I have the same Ouija boards I had since I was 8. I've got dozens of them. I've never had a bad experience until 8 months ago when I screwed up because I didn't set up I didn't set it up right.
Yeah, I know. With the Halloween coming up, I think this might be a good question. And you know, because of COVID, and you know, most people not going to get a dress up and go out and party and go out to trick or treating and go do the things, go to the haunted houses like we do. What can people do this Halloween if there's just one or two people at home, you know, besides they don't want to just watch an old horror movie?
Summon the devil.
So what can give a suggestion of what somebody safely can do at home this Halloween because now they can't go out?
What I would think is go back to that roots of celebrating your ancestors. You don't have to open a portal or call them in. Maybe go through an album of ancestors and family tree like you do, pictures of grandma, and this was my dad's dad, and this was so. Tell stories. Again, if you want to go there, I mean, light a candle for them. This is like you're in church. Mm-hmm. Light a candle for them. Put some incense. This is for you, grandpa. This is for you, dad. And maybe tell stories. How cool is that? Just like, when you were a little kid, dad. People, we don't do enough of that anymore. Mm-hmm. Olden days, I used to do that.
Tell the stories.
Some cultures do that. So stay home. They don't have to be scary, the ghost at the campfire.
Right.
Tell family stories. And you can add scary stories to it, too. You know, come over. My neighborhood, because I live a neighborhood that does big Halloween. We set up tents and we have adults and we have kids, and we can't this year. We're not supposed to do it. So we're doing an online costume contest. We're doing an online drive-by the house decorated contest or games. And we're doing, I think they're doing like home scavenger hunt. You know, kids made for little ones at home. Okay, go find a purple toothbrush. Go find, you know, a Q-tip. Go, I don't know what they're doing with it.
Right.
So you can have games and do things with the family. But I think if you can take it back, that it is the dark time. It's the time for reflection. Dark is in inner, not dark as in bad.
Right. No, I think that's great. That's a great tip. And for just because we're almost out of time, once again, this is Patty Negri. She has been a recurring role on Travelers Channel Ghost Adventures. She's an internationally best-selling author of a book. And please pick this book up, Old World Magic for the Modern World, Tip, Tricks, Techniques to Balance, Empowering, and Creating a Life You Love. I love that book. I've read it. It's a great book.
Simple. I spent more time unwriting it than writing it on purpose, which is why it's doing so well in our little fast brain. So, cow's clearing techniques, dumb suppers in it. So go read it, the little dumb supper section, and do it for your mom. This is perfect.
I'm going to do it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I liked it. For her birthday, we went out and had dinner, for her, and had her favorite, even though it's something I wouldn't eat.
But that's okay.
It's for her. Right now, if for your clients, are you still doing clients? Are you doing Zoom?
I'm doing Zoom. So call me. I'm doing Zoom, Skype, Facebook, Video Messenger, WhatsApp, all those little talking Brady Bunch heads that we do. I'm doing them. I've seen a couple of local people who like really wanted live for some reason, or clearings that I just had to do. We did it. So, you know, I went in
full mask,
everything. Or I have done a couple. I have a big, deep backyard, socially distanced in the backyard. But there's still mosquitoes out, so let's don't do that till it cools off. Zoom is fabulous.
With this pandemic, a disease, is there anything, you know, spiritually we could do to help somewhat protect us? I know it's not going to be a cure, but maybe is there something that we could do to help protect us from the disease?
I believe so. Again, I believe we are powerful beings. I haven't been sick in 30 years. I should be dead. That's a story for another episode. But
we'll have you back.
But yeah, we can. Yes, you have to be careful. Yes, you have to do what they say. And yes, you can. Where we put our focus, we know that. Where we put our focus, if you're worried about getting sick, those are the people who get sick.
Right.
If you're like, I'm wearing a mask, but I'm not going to get sick, you're not going to get sick. And again, I don't want to say that so somebody goes out and
they
stupid.
Get sick and saying,
hey. Where you put your focus, that glass half empty, glass half full. If we're sitting there living in fear and hiding away, that's not right. Be 100% safe. Follow all the rules and choose to stay healthy. It works for me.
Living in fear on anything doesn't help.
Yeah.
I mean, being successful financially, emotionally, energy. Relationship, energy, anything.
Yeah.
If you live in fear, it's probably eventually going to backfire.
And work within your belief system. Pray, dance, whatever that is. Chant to the fireballs. Whatever you have to do. Yes, I believe all of that works.
Well, once again, Patty is one of our favorite guests and people that we've had on our show. Like I said, we're coming up on 600 episodes, and you always deliver. You always say yes and come in with a smile, and we appreciate that.
Thanks.
And I know you're exhausted from the Halloween season, but please, everybody, be safe and enjoy. And like Patty said, you can do things at home and celebrate yourself, your ancestries, and just take care of each other. So, Patty, one more time, where do people find the book, podcast, all that?
Yeah, pattynegri.com, pattinegri.com. From there, you can get Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. My book is on Amazon, audio, e, or print. You could also get to that from my website. So like me, follow me, friend me, talk to me, email me. I'm really easy to get hold of. Also, check out my friend McBain's. If you guys like amazing gadgets that do amazing things, he's the one who did the Ouija board that draws. I've gotten amazing. It's I think it's McBain's.com. McBain's.com. So McBain's.com. He's this crazy, beautiful, wild inventor, magician, wizard. So McBain's, and he's letting me play with this all weekend. And they're safe, and you guys create your own world. So thank you. Thank you. You're always a joy to be with.
Oh,
Tony.
Please. No, I, like I said, you're one of my favorites. Because I know you always just, you have great stories, and just your energy so well. And you can tell that what you do is, you know, shines through.
Oh, thank you.
Through you. So, but this is Tony Sweet with the one and only Truth Be Told. We hope you guys love this episode. Please share it. Go to Apple, iHeart, and all these other places for podcasts. Please download it. Subscribe. Leave a positive comment. And even subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that also. Until next time, I'm here with Patty Negri, and we'll see you real soon. Take care. Bye-bye.